Welcome to the teaching podcast of Wellspring Church in New York City. We are a community that seeks to live in the way of Jesus and hope that you will be encouraged by today's teaching.
Good morning, church. Oh, come on, we can do better than this. Good morning, church. However you've been raised, Presbyterian, Methodist, whatever it is, today you're Pentecostal. So you're allowed to speak back to me. You're allowed to talk to me. You have to get up and raise your hanky and just like wave it, whatever you need to do. The reason why I'm telling you is because, you know, this morning I entered into this chapel. These guys were rocking out. You know, I got to walk through this, get upstairs, and I got prayed over, y'all. I'm telling you, I got fire in my bones and faith in my spirit. I got fire in my bones and faith in my spirit. And I will not shut up. Whatever it is, I will not shut up. Because we're going to call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus over every darkness, over every addiction, over every lie that you've been hearing or even recognizing. Jesus is the answer to it all. So we're going to call upon the name of Jesus. And it was so great that Olivia introduced me. She didn't know she was going to talk all this stuff about me, or else I would be like, keep it to the prayer. But one of the things we got to do lately is we got to go to Puerto Rico for our 10 years anniversary. And that was a lot of fun. We left our two kids with our in-laws, with my in-laws, and it was just a blast. So we got to Puerto Rico, which I didn't know, like when the plane lands, everybody claps. Which I just bursted out laughing because I didn't know how to respond to that. And that was so cool. Also, I started thinking, are they clapping because they literally are saying, thank you for not killing us? Okay, so we got to Puerto Rico, and it was really cool, and actually not cool, it was humid. And it was fantastic. It was about 8 o'clock at night. And we've traveled for, at this point, like, from our door, we left our house at 1 o'clock. So, you know, I'm tired, man. Like, I'm just like, bro, get me a good meal, some arroz con gandules, and get me to bed. Like, I'm just like, we're ready for the beach tomorrow in the morning. You know, that's what we'll do. And we hop in on Uber. By the way, Ubers cost so less over there. I think we're getting like just daylight robbery over here. You go from my house to the overflow, it's like $1 million already. I don't even know what's happening. So we got hopped in the Uber, we got there, and you know, just like the Puerto Rican hospitality. Oh my word. Oh my word. Lord, give New York some Puerto Rican hospitality. So we got there, and you know, we're about to check in. This guy just looks at us and he's like, come on this register. So we got to the register, right? And he's just like, all right, last name. I said, Munshir Sad, great. He looks at us and he says, just so you know, and he pulls out a piece of paper and he just says, just so you know, the AC is half working. I looked at my wife and I said, and his next words were, but it's not a problem. We'll book you into another hotel. In my head, I'm thinking, bro, listen, it's been 6 hours since I'm traveling, okay? I am not in a mood to hop into another hotel and figure this out, all right? And it's not what we're going to do. My wife, you have to understand a few things about us. My wife is like, she went on missions at age 17, right? Like, just, she lived in a slum hotel so that she could minister to the most, like, downtrodden, beaten people in life in Vancouver, Canada. So for this, for her, was just like, no, half AC, not a problem. Me over here, Lord, purge me. Purge this thing out of me. I'm like Mr. Bougie over here. I'm like sulking in my own heart, and I'm just like, oh, whatever. So we got into the room, and we somehow slept that night, and you know, everything is good. And we wake up in the morning to my wife's voice. She's like, oh, look at the view out of the room. It's so perfect. Da, 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 da. And it was perfect. It was like the beach and coconut trees. And they weren't little kids waking us up asking for waffles in the morning. This was just us. Yo, parents, you know what I'm talking about. Can I get an amen? Amen. Parents? All right, so we're out there. The AC is still not kicking. And we go down, have breakfast, whatever. But what I wanted to tell you is that somewhere in the beach, in the water, when we were in the water, we were just kind of like, you know, what we do? Just thinking like, oh, the breakfast was perfect. This was perfect. That was perfect. Only if we had the AC, that would be great. And Olivia's like, let's just pray for the AC. Let's just pray for the AC to come back. And I was like, all right, let's just pray. So we started praying. 6 p.m., we get back into a hotel room, and the AC is back on. Bang! God is concerned with even the littlest, what may seem even the stupidest prayer request that you may have, that He is concerned about that. He's concerned about this, and He's concerned about that. Some of you are in a stage in your life where you don't need Daddy God to show up. You need the God Almighty to show up in your life, because you don't know how you're going to make it to the next month. You don't know how your mind is going to survive the period of time that you're going through. And folks, I want to direct your attention to one of the most integral parts of Christian life, which is intercession. We look at this all throughout the Bible. And this is why I wanted to like name this sermon, Releasing Heaven Through Intercession. So we look at Ezekiel 22:30, right? It says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. I believe in this hour, God is searching. God is searching for intercessors. I don't think He's searching for entertainers or influencers or people with titles. He is searching for intercessors, people who would move heaven, by their prayers. People who would move heaven by their praise, who would release the authority and power of heaven down on earth as it is in heaven. Is there anybody in here who needs the power and authority of heaven in their life? Is there anyone who can say, you know what? I can use a slice of heaven today. I can use God's favor today. I can use God answering this prayer for me today. Is there anyone who wants a piece of heaven? And when we look at Ezekiel 22:30, it kind of gives us a glimpse of God's heart, right? Like, He was ready to release judgment, but He looked for just one person who would sort of like intercede for these people, and He found no one. Could it be that heaven is actually looking for and waiting for your voice? Could it be that your prayer is the key to someone's breakthrough? Look around this room. Identify someone. Go ahead, take a 5-second look around this room. Identify someone and ask yourself a question, who could use my prayers? Or who could I pray on behalf of? Some of you have the opportunity to look around your workplace. Who needs the hand and mercy of God? Who amongst in your workplace is tied up in the clutches of sin and shame? Who could use God's intervention? Folks, today I didn't want to preach a sermon. If you want to hear a sermon, I have some great podcasts I can just give you links to. Meet me after church. But I want to preach a word today, a word that will impact your life. And I don't have expectation that you would remember everything that I'm saying, because no one remembers everything that has been said. But I want you to just say, like, just remember a couple of things from this. Because I do believe the Word of God has power to change lives. That is how the Word works. It has the authority and power to change lives. And I want to say this, intercession is not a side ministry, it's the central heart of God. If we look biblically, right, through the Old Testament, you have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Hezekiah, Nehemiah, and the prophets, they've all interceded, they've all mediated, they've all been there. And then there's like cut to New Testament, they all mediated and set up for the great mediator, who is Jesus. Jesus is the great mediator. And what he did on the cross paved the way for you and I to just access. The veil was torn and we have access. Let me repeat that again. The veil was torn and we have access. So when you pray, pray like those seated in heavenly places. Don't beg. Don't feel like you're not worthy. Pray like those seated in heavenly places. So I want to talk about three things today. Number one, intercession is a call to carry God's heart. Because it's more than a prayer, it's a burden. Our prayer shouldn't be like, oh, you know, God, just pray for this or pray for that. You know what happens with intercession is that intercession is not just one of those things that you pray on behalf of. Because if we're not careful, intercession can turn into accusation. Because what happens is that it's about like, well, God, I think they need this. She needs an attitude check. God, I think she's a little too saucy. Like, you know, fix her, Lord. No. We're going to intercede like we're in their shoes. We're going to intercede like it's our own issue. We're going to intercede like this matters to us. Yeah. Otherwise, don't intercede. Yeah. Because if we intercede out of the wrong spirit, right, you're going to have powerless intercession. But if you want powerful intercession, intercession with the access that Jesus gives you, which is his heart. Folks, we have the privilege. We have the privilege of carrying people to the throne room, to the grace of God. Do you understand this privilege? It is not a normal thing. When you pray, you're carrying someone to the grace of God. You're carrying someone from the dirt of shame, the dirt of sin, their mistakes, to the grace of God. You're carrying someone from what they have been looking for and struggling with to the grace of God. Because in that journey carrying to the grace of God, that is where breakthrough lies. And I believe God is equipping people in this room for that journey to carry them from point A to the grace of God. Point A to the grace of God. Folks, if you're not hearing anything, hear this very clearly. God wants you to partner and participate with him. Amen. This is not a one-way journey where you get to believe and show up on Easter and Good Friday. I didn't get my orders right, but and then Christmas. I think God wants more participation than this. God wants you to have an active prayer life. God wants you to partner with him in intercession. And God wants you to carry a heart that is burdened for people. Is there anyone in here who has a heart that's burdened for your neighbors? Is there anyone in here who has a heart that's burdened for the people around them? If you don't have a heart that's burdened for people around you, ask God for a burden. I want to challenge you to ask God for a burden. Because this, look, don't do the Christian life in like a half manner. Do the Christian life in a full manner. Either you're all in or either you're all out. Because the half and half life, bro, you can smell the water, but you cannot get into it. That's sad. Can you imagine if I went to Puerto Rico and I just never dove in that beautiful blue water? Ah, I can't imagine. Can you imagine just being on the brink of like hearing like God answering this person's prayer and God answering that person's prayer, and you're seeing promises and you're seeing healings and all of those kind of things, but you're just too busy playing, what is that, hopscotch? Double Dutch? There you go. Thank you for correcting me. It's like double Dutch, where you're just like, I should not. Maybe I should. I don't know. But God is calling you to jump in. This is not a spectator sport. Prayer is getting in, getting your heart dirty, having a burden. Genesis 18 shows us, Abraham talks about this, right? He says, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? He appealed to God's mercy, not man's merit. Folks, appeal to God, not to man. Appeal to God, not to man. Sometimes our prayers are powerless because we think about what will man think about what I'm praying about. Listen, if you're not filled with the audacious faith that God calls us to pray with, I want to encourage you that you don't leave here without the audacious faith that God has called us as people of God. Second thing, Moses. I want to call Moses almost like Dr. President Moses. Bro, Moses is just next level. Just next level. Because anytime something happens and the people disobey, boom, Moses is like on his face praying. Build a golden calf, boom, on his face. Israelites have sinned, boom, on his face. We need a generation that will get on their faces for others. We are called to be lovers of people, not haters of people. And I just want to say something very clearly. God told us, love your neighbor as I have loved you. That is the new covenant we pray out of. We don't pray out of the old covenant, which is love your neighbors and hate your enemies. We pray out of the new covenant, which is love your neighbors and your enemies. And Moses just went for it. He put his face down and interceded for people day and night, day and night, day and night, till he got an answer. And he, folks, God listened to what he had to say. Jesus in Hebrews 7:25 says to us, therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus lives to intercede for us. Folks, the great intercessor, who do you want? If you were playing a game of football and your quarterback was Tom Brady, you were already counting that win. You were like, listen, we're winning. I know he's retired, but intercession is not about eloquence, it's about empathy. Because intercessors weep over what grieves God. Folks, there is power. There is power in your tears. There is power in your tears. I want to repeat that again. There is power in your tears. And it's over a course of a year and a half or 2 years, I felt that in this church, there are people who have the gift of tears. Tears speak a language words do not. There's a guy named William Booth who co-founded the Salvation Army with Catherine Booth. And basically what happened is that God called him into ministry. He told God, listen, God, you can have all my heart. You can have all my heart. All that is of me, you can have it all. So God basically took him to, at that time in the 1800s, to an area that was like really affected by alcoholism. And God showed him his people, and he said, I want you to go and minister amongst them. He opened the word of God, and thousands of people came to know the powerful presence of God. And they got saved. They accepted Jesus as their Savior. And so the beauty of that happened is that what he intended to just start and go and pray over evolved into this, like, church. He didn't even intend to do that, but God was just like spreading the word. This word was getting spread. So he took he trained a few people and he sent them around England. And one day he received a telegram. He said, you've sent us over here, but nothing has happened yet. We've tried everything. We've tried everything that you taught us. Nothing happened. He wrote a note back saying, back in those days there were no emails, so he just had to like do the post. Try tears. Try tears. Some of you have been sitting on prayer requests that have yet not been answered. Some of you have sort of like, you're in that stage where you're sort of like trying to figure out, where do I even go from here? Because I've been praying for this for the longest time I know. And I want to encourage you, try tears. Because tears, again, folks, holds a language and moves God's heart in a way that is unfathomable. And you haven't, if you haven't already recognized, there is this insane mystery to who God is. So give God the glory by giving him your attention in prayer. Give God the glory by telling him, God, give me a burden for your people. Give me a burden for your people. Break my heart for what breaks yours, God. Give me a burden for your people. When is the last time you actually prayed, God, give me a burden for your people. Let me pray for somebody, Lord Jesus, that you want me to pray for. Break my heart for what breaks yours, God. It's easy to sing it in a Carrie Job song, but it's harder to pray. Folks, if we're going to do this, let's do it the right way. Let's have a life of prayer. Let's have a life of intercession. Let's have a life where we just don't come on a Sunday to Sunday. This is like drive-through Christianity. God is not interested in drive-through Christianity. God wants your full participation in your walk of life. And I want to encourage you today that ask God for a burden. God, give me a burden. God, give me a burden like a seal on my heart. The people walking by would be like, oh my gosh, that person is carrying all these burdens in prayer that he's praying and interceding for. Like, let people sometimes know, y'all, you pray, people know. People know. You can tell a praying person from a non-praying person. Because you got fire in your bones and you got faith in your spirit. I pray God gives you fire in your bones. I pray God gives you fire in your bones. Because here's the thing. I'm not just here to preach to you about intercession. I'm actually pissed off at the enemy. Because I hear things where the enemy is constantly stealing and killing and destroying. And I'm not okay with it. There are way too many people in addictions. There are way too many people in bondages of sin. There are way too many people filled with anxiety. There are way too many people whose life there is a war that's been waged. And we're not going to stand for it as a church. In fact, the beauty of the church is that when we rally together and intercede, the power of God rises up and destroys the work of the enemy. But it requires not just one person doing that thing. It requires all of us to follow suit and have a life where we intercede together for one another. Intercession, second point, is also a weapon of power and authority. So intercession is not just like you just throwing up prayers. It's not just like one of those like weak or passive things. It's warfare. It's governmental. When you intercede, you're stepping into the spirit realm to enforce the will of God. You're not just talking to God. You're taking territory. Acts 12:5 tells us while Peter was in prison, the church was earnestly praying to God for him. What happened? The angels showed up. Y'all, who wants the angels to show up when they pray? And I know some of you are not praying for a headache to be gone. Some of you are praying for the powers of sin and shame to be torn up. Some of you are praying for the generational curses to be torn up. The angels show up, the chains fell, the prison gates open. What it tells us is that intercession activates the supernatural. Intercession activates the supernatural. Folks, when you pray, every prayer that we do is intercession. Because we pray to the great mediator who then mediates our prayers to God. We pray as an act of intercession. So every prayer, you're already part of intercession, right? Let's step away from intercession 101 and just go to intercession 401. And just dive deep in. Because I know somewhere within your heart, you're just like, man, I don't want to pray like I just prayed last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. I want to go deeper. I want to go in. And some of you are already in. You're carrying a burden. You're carrying this like mark on your heart where you're just going in and you're losing and shaking things in the spirit realm because the will of God is actually coming and occupying some of these barren lands, some of these prayer requests that you have. You've never seen the will of God just come in. And now it's the kingdom of God coming on earth as it is in heaven. That is the beauty of intercession. Romans 8:26 tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us intercede, sometimes with groanings too deep for words. This is the travail of the Spirit. Tongues, groans, declarations. These are not charismatic options. They are spiritual weapons. Some of you groan when you pray. It's good to groan when you pray. I want to encourage you to groan when you pray. Some of you, has anyone ever been here where you've tried to pray but you just don't have words? Yeah? Can you raise your hand if you've been in that place where you're just like, I don't know what to say, and you just feel like the only thing that can come out of my mouth is The only thing that can come out of my mouth is like, God, I'm going through something. Or I'm praying on behalf of someone who's going through something. God wants to hear that groan, because that groan in your spirit carries more weight than anything else you even know. You don't need words. Y'all got groan. And I want to activate the groan within you, that the power of God would meet you and activate that hidden groan within you. It ain't polished. Don't worry about what people will think. Worry about what he thinks. Worry about how it communicates to heaven. And then, you know, watch this. And the power of heaven will invade your story and your situation. You know, there's a lie that you need the title and authority to pray, that you need to be a certain person to pray. No. You need intimacy. You know, intercessors may never hold a microphone, but they move heaven and earth in the prayer closet. Do you have a prayer closet? If you don't have a prayer closet, and you can actually have a closet, I know New York doesn't have a lot of storage space, so you're just like, stop talking about closets, I don't have space, y'all. Okay, if you don't have a prayer closet, I wanna encourage you to dedicate a space, a room, whatever it is in your house where you're just showing up every day. That's the practice, that's the daily practice. Show up every day, show up every day and pray. Show up every day and pray. Show up every day and pray. I guarantee you, watch how God moves through your prayers. Watch the people you pray for getting breakthrough. Bang, 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 bang. But that all happens because you have intimacy with God. Intimacy means into me you see. In that moment, God is purging some things out of you that need to be out so that the power of the Spirit would enter into your life and occupy those empty spaces. Basically, that is the moment of sanctification and purification in your life. God is trying to make you like him. Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, has called you to be holy. So God is making you more in his likeness and image, and that's going to continue on till the day we die. But the beauty of that journey starts in intimacy. Folks, we need to have intimacy with God, and I cannot tell you how important this is. Can you imagine, right, that I only spoke to Olivia when I had to say something about the kids, and I just never talked to her after that? Our marriage wouldn't survive, y'all. How do we expect our relationship with God to survive when we only talk to him on a Sunday? How do we expect our relationship with God to survive when we only talk to him once in a blue moon? And you know why that happens? Because there's a war waged over your life. There is a war waged over your schedule. There's a war waged over, I feel like someone's getting free today. Listen, you're never too busy for God. You're never too busy for God. You're never too busy to pray. You're never too busy to show up before God. You're never too busy to open the Word of God. That's how intimacy is created. And the reason why that doesn't happen is the enemy will show up and wage a war over your schedule, wage a war over your hobbies. Hey, I love this hobby. Let me keep it. Yo, get rid of that hobby. Get rid of that hobby. Because God wants you more than that hobby wants you. And I want to encourage you, church, today. If anything that you're taking from this sermon, get in love with Jesus. Get in love with Jesus. Because when we get in love with Jesus, His love exudes out of us for others. But we cannot give what we don't have. We can't give what we don't have. And you cannot fake intimacy. You can act it, but when the rubber meets the road, this is why we have prayers. It's almost like air balls. Pew! It's like my basketball game. They go up and they come down. They go up and they come down. Whoops, what happened? What happened? Oh, man, I guess God's not listening to my prayers. I don't even know what's going on. Listen, God wants to listen and partner with you in prayer. God wants you. God wants you all the way, not half the way. God wants you all the way. So let's show up in intimacy. I know a friend who's in the back right now, so I'm just going to pick on him for a second. This guy loved golf. You know I'm talking about Ryan Kwok. This guy loved golf, like... Ryan would never wake up for anybody in the morning. If he said, Ryan, let's go to brunch, not waking up before 12 o'clock. That's a single life, y'all. But Ryan has had this experience recently that God called him into a deeper intimacy with him. Right? The first thing Ryan gave up was golf. The next thing Ryan gave up is relationships that were hindering him from entering into the intimacy with God. Check your relationships. Check your relationships. And third thing that he did is after he had time freed up, he entered the zone every day. He wasn't playing double dutch. He entered the zone. He just went in every single day. What are you doing? I don't have time. I got to spend time with the Lord. Hey, you want to grab a burger? I don't have time. I got to spend time with the Lord. Hey, you want to do this? I don't have time. We used to go to diners all the time. We don't go to diners no more. He's having a spiritual diner in his prayer closet. He's having wings in his spare closet. I'm not joking, y'all. You think this is funny. But this guy showed up. And the reason that happened is that, folks, in some part of our life, we have to take ownership and just commit to discipline. Commit to discipline. That we got to show up before the Lord. And my last point is this. Intercession births revival and restoration. No revival has ever come without intercession. It is the womb where moves of God are conceived and birthed. Isaiah 62, 6, 7 says, "You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem." That's the posture of an intercessor, persistent, unrelenting, faithful. So the Moravians... 100 years, so the Moravians 100 years prayer meeting, have you heard about that? The Moravians, anybody? Bueller? Yeah? So the Moravians, right, they had a 100 year prayer meeting. The cool thing about the Moravians is that it wasn't one of those things where like the heavens opened, the fire fell down, and then boom, it started a prayer meeting. It's like 24 people, right? 12 couples, 24 people just committed. We're going to show up every day, we're going to pray. We're just going to show up every day and we're going to pray. We're going to pray, 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 pray. You know what? Hobbies, you got nothing on me. This and that, you got nothing on me. They cut away everything and they showed up to pray. And the move of God broke amongst them. 100-year prayer meeting? Folks, 100-year prayer meeting. These days, ministries don't even survive 1 year. This is a 100-year prayer meeting. Next thing, Welsh revival. So close to my heart. I love Welsh revival. Evan Roberts cried, "Bend me, Lord." You know what the cool thing about the Welsh revival is? That like when the power of God broke in the Welsh revival, right? Like Evan Roberts and their worship team was there, and they just sang a very simple song about the love of God, and the love of God just came and bang! Just broke amongst them. But the beauty of the Welsh revival that happened, what I'm trying to tell you, it's happened because of the movement of prayer. There have been people interceding day and night for a move of God. And when the move of God happened, even the cops were not needed in the country. They were used as people, you know, when you go to concerts and you just are like, you know, hey, walk in line. It's okay, this way, please. Just like people who are just showing the way. Because the prisons were empty and nothing was happening. Like, there's no crime. Everything was, this is the power of intercession. Breaks things that you don't even have the vision and understanding for. But God knows. Years later, when the accounts of Welsh revival used to be read out in the open, the power and the move of God would break in that room. And people would be filled with the Spirit. Last thing is Azusa Street. This is another revival. It's close to home for us. A few hungry souls gathered in prayer-soaked barn. The fire fell, and the Pentecostal movement was born out of that. Now, why am I telling you this? Because Azusa Street was really cool because there was a pastor who was applying for a job, and he went and he applied for the job. He didn't really get it. The people who he was staying with, and he basically said, hey, can I stay here a couple of days? I feel like the Lord just wants me to have a prayer meeting, you know, so I'm just going to invite a few people. And that prayer meeting, y'all, never ended. People just came and it just happened. And what happened is that he didn't start a prayer meeting because he wanted this, that, and everything else, the bells and whistles. I always love this quote from John Calvin, and my wife picks on me. Human heart is a factory of idols. Sometimes we want the gifts of God, but we don't want God. Sometimes we want the power and the move of God, but we don't want God. If you're worshiping something else that is not Jesus, it's idol worship. So this guy, he had prayer meetings and people were getting baptized by the Holy Spirit. As people are getting baptized by the Holy Spirit, there are people who are sick who would come into the room, bang, healed. There are people who have never had the gift of tongues, got the gift of tongues. There are people who just had different other gifts that they never even thought about were having gifts. And so not only did it break in that room, it started breaking in the city to the point that the preacher in the street, had a garbage bag over his face and preached the word of God because they didn't want to be seen. They wanted the word of God to be seen. All because of a discipline and commitment to intercession. I know there are so many people in this room, and I know you personally, that you want revival to break in New York City. And I believe God wants to break revival in New York City as well. But it's not going to be broken by itself. God's asking us to partner with him in this revival. God's saying, hey, you know what? If God wanted revival to happen, bang, like that. Do we agree on that? But God wants to partner with us. God wants to partner with our prayer. Day and night. It's like those bowls in heaven, right? It's just like, bang, prayer. And there comes an overflow, boop, tip, done. I believe God is calling us into that. Keep on praying, folks. Keep on praying. Keep on showing up. I love the song. I used to sing in a choir, yeah, a while back. And I love this song. This is songwriter, Dorothy Norwood. She wrote this song, and I was thinking about the sermon. I came across these lyrics, kind of like jog my memory. It says, it's on the screen. Somebody went to the throne of heaven. Somebody lifted my name, bringing me to the holy presence, saying what I could not say. Somebody showed me the face of his mercy when darkness was all I could see. Somebody pleaded the blood of Jesus. Somebody prayed for me. When I needed a breakthrough, somebody prayed for me. When my family needed a breakthrough, somebody prayed for me. When I was going through struggles that I could not talk about to anybody, somebody prayed for me. When my aunt or my uncle was going through things that nobody even knew them, somebody was praying for me. Are you going to be that somebody who's going to be praying for somebody else? Intercessors are spiritual midwives, which is all of us, because we're all intercessors. They birth what heaven is ready to release. My question to you is, will you be a revival carrier? Will you be the one who births something in prayer that transforms this city? God is still looking. He's searching for someone who will stand in the gap. Who will stand in the gap. And let me tell you, folks, there is a gap in the city. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, I don't even need to run you through the stats, but there's a gap in the city. And what God wants us to do in that gap is just stand. Just stand in the gap as people, just right here. To stand faithfully. Our job is to stand in the gap. You know, maybe you'll never ever preach a sermon, or no one will ever even know your name. But if you give yourself to intercession, heaven will know your voice. And I believe there's power in that. I would rather heaven know my voice than me ever preach a day in my entire life. I would rather heaven know my voice than compromise on somebody else getting a breakthrough in their life. Because here's the thing, folks, what I want to call you into. Let's stand in the gap. Let's burn for Jesus. Let's burn for Jesus. Let's stand in the gap and burn for Jesus. He'll do the rest. We just got to show up. He'll do the rest. We just got to show up. You just show up faithfully and he's there. I was getting out of the shower this morning and I was praying, because I'm notorious at mixing up lyrics, right? I was just praying, heal my hands, purify my heart. I want to burn for you. And my wife is like, it's not heal your hands. But then she proceeded to say, I don't need soap and water. I need the miracle of God to heal my hands. And sometimes I think that is so true in our lives. We need a miracle of God to show up in our lives. And if any one of you feel called to two things, one, I want to stand in the gap today, right here, right now. I want to commit to standing in the gap. I want to ask you to stand up. I want to stand in the gap for my neighbor or my city or my people. I want to stand in the gap for those who are struggling. I want you to stand up, because we're going to pray over you today. And it's not just going to be like, please don't stand just because everyone else is standing. Stand because God is urging you to stand. Because if you stand and say yes, God will give you a burden on your heart. God will give you a burden on your heart for others, to pray for others, to intercede for others, to wake up in the middle of the night and pray for those who really need you, to commit to spiritual warfare. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. This is a Maranatha cry. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, and baptize your people with your power and your spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. I pray right now that you would have the clarity of Christ in your heart. I pray right now that you would have the clarity of Christ in your heart. And the reason why I pray that you would have the clarity of Christ in your heart, that you would be able fully to make choices that honor God and separate away from the things of the world into the things of the kingdom of God. I pray that God would give you a burden for others, for your neighbors, your co-workers, the people you meet on the street, the bodega you visit every day, the friends who are unsaved, the family members who need healing, the ones who have been so lost that you don't even know if they're going to be found. I pray that God gives you a burden today for those people, that you would wake up in the middle of the night praying for those people, interceding for those people. And I pray that the power of God would meet you in your life, that the power of God would baptize you from head to toe. It is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And it is that same power that will show up when you pray. So we pray for a move of God today. We come expecting for a move of God today. We're not here just normally just being like, well, let's see if the Lord shows up. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Teach us to intercede like you do. Teach us to mediate like you do. Father, we need you as we press into worship. I just really want to implore you to have your hearts open for whatever the Lord wants to do within you today. If your prayer today is, God, you can have all of me, then so be it. If your prayer today is, God, give me a burden for others, so be it. If you want to pray today, God, let me stand in the gap for those who don't even have a voice, so be it. God, come and have your way.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can find out more about our church community at wellspringchurchnyc.com.